and a pleasant good afternoon now, Monday evening to you, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. This is indeed the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tustree Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening to the program, thank you for tuning into the program this Monday evening. Can we all just let out a collective because, man, listen, here we are, barely 24 hours after absolute mayhem that was this past weekend in the NFL divisional playoff. And I'm not talking the Allstate commercials where mayhem is everywhere. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the absolute chaos that was the NFL divisional round this past weekend that just concluded last night. If you got any thoughts, you can call into the program at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in. I'm here with you today. It's an abbreviated program. I'm here with you until 6. I'm usually here from 5 to 7, but today I'm here from 5 to 6. Bruins, Ducks tonight at 7. That's the reason why I got to cut out an hour early. That's the reason why. But I'm here with you for an hour. So, if you have any takes, opinions, based on what you saw this past weekend in the NFL divisional games, let me know. But I'm going to start out by saying something that has been percolating in my mind over the last several hours. And that is that the NFL truly is king in this country. You can forget about Major League Baseball. You can kick the NBA to the side. You can kick the NHL down the dark alley for all I care. But the truth is that the NFL has proven yet again why it is absolutely king this weekend. Folks, I'm going to tell you how my weekend went, basically, in a nutshell. It was football, 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 and then more football. That's how my weekend was. I watched a large chunk of the Cincinnati-Tennessee game. Oh, man. I'm going to get back to that game in just a moment. Don't you worry. And then I watched on Saturday night. Oh, man. Saturday night, absolute choker in Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers doing what he does best in the playoffs. Choke. He is basically what I would like to call the real-life equivalent of Pinocchio in the NFL. You know that his nose is going to grow when it lies, just like Aaron Rodgers. His ego grew, so he lied. And then in the cold, blistering air that is Green Bay, the balloon popped. That's exactly what happened on Saturday night. Now, yesterday, man, if you didn't watch the Rams and Buccaneers game, you missed out on some wild theater. You missed out on some absolute blistering late game comeback by some guy that we probably don't know about here in New England named Tom Brady. That's exactly what we saw yesterday. And just when you think it couldn't have gotten any better, Kansas City last night versus the Buffalo Bills said, uh-uh. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no, 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 no. You are going to hold my beer 25 times over. Listen, I thought I was going to have a damn heart attack watching the game last night. I'm serious. It got so tense. That last 90 seconds of that game, I'm telling you, it got so tense that, folks, I literally had to shut the TV off. It got too much. It got absolutely too much for me. Between anything you can do, I can do better. Between Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, that is exactly what we saw. I'm serious. It really was amazing to watch. When you consider that at the half, oh man, 14 all at the half yesterday. And you would have told me that at halftime yesterday that the Chiefs and the Bills were going to end up having the overall performance that it would end up having between the two quarterbacks, Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, I would have told you, yeah, but, because there was that but factor specifically when it came to Josh Allen. I wasn't ready to say, man, that dude is good. Oh, he's good. Because there was that little bit of doubt in my mind where I was like, well, we saw what he did to the Patriots, but last night, all of that went away. All of that went away. Where do I start? Which game do I start with? You know what? I am going to be the young kid late at night, hungry for a cookie, and I'm going to go sneak into the kitchen and pull out the cookie jar. And in that cookie jar, I'm going to see that it is infested with baby ants. And those baby ants are the Tennessee Titans scattering away and being the disappointment that they have become because of one glaring flaw. That cookie got old and it got old fast. Who is that cookie? Oh, that cookie is Ryan Tannehill. That's exactly where we're going to start. Folks, it's time to admit that the AFC right now, as it currently stands, is a three-headed quarterback monster that we are going to be witnessing for at least minimum the next 10 years. Joe Burrow, that dude is for real. He is the real deal. Josh Allen, and then, of course, Patrick Mahomes being the king of all kings at the quarterback position in the NFL, not just the AFC. But here's the reality. On Saturday night, I'm watching the end of the fourth quarter. I'm watching this game as this game has become tight, defensive battle. You got to give credit to the defensive front for the Tennessee Titans for doing the job that it did. And somehow, someway, can't say I am not surprised. The real Ryan Tannehill decides to show up. And by real, I mean the one who withers under pressure. Folks, if you are a Patriots fan or a fan of any of the AFC East teams over the last specific 10 years, you know who Ryan Tannehill is. You know exactly what he's about. This is someone who has made big-time mistake after mistake after mistake in the final 2 minutes of games. This is who he was in Miami. And somehow all the flashbacks, when he threw that interception into traffic, no less, in and out of the hands of the receiver, I literally said to myself, man, if the Titans lose this game, I am going to laugh my arse off. I am going to carry on like the absolute maniac that I am on social media when it comes to football, when it comes to hockey, when it comes to a lot of things. And sure enough, when McPherson kicked that field goal for the Cincinnati Bengals, I let it fly. I let it completely fly. And I said, look, the Titans are not there yet. Do they have a solid defense? Yes, they do. Do they have a good offensive line? Yes. Do they have the best running back in football right now in Derrick Henry? Yes. What are they missing? A quarterback. Why is it so important? But you can win with anyone in the playoffs. False. False. You can't just win in the playoffs with anybody under center. What's your proof? Go look at Saturday night's Cincinnati-Tennessee game. When your quarterback is absolutely mediocre in two-minute drills, that's the difference between winning and losing in the NFL, quarterback play. And if you don't have a quarterback, you will oftentimes lose more than you win. And if you think that you're going to win with a defense only, you sure as hell better make sure that you got a defense that is equally as good as the 1985 Bears or the 2000 Baltimore Ravens, or better yet, the 2013 Legion of Boom Seattle Seahawks. But in today's NFL, you need a quarterback. The Titans, they don't have a quarterback. And I tweeted this out on Saturday night. They need to go get themselves a quarterback. But then you have those that are saying, well, they have a quarterback. I mean, Ryan Tannehill is a good quarterback. Good or average? He's average at best until you put him in pressure-packed situations. And what you saw on Saturday night is exactly that. What you also saw on the other side of the field, Joe Burrow, why this young man is becoming a man amongst boys. You want to know why? Go back and watch that entire fourth quarter. He didn't wilt under pressure. You saw him connect with Ja'Marr Chase time and time and time again under key situations. And then the running back, Joe Dixon, ooh, man, he had some big runs in that and late in the game as well. Joe Burrows understands what you have to do. Go back and watch that final drive, that game-winning drive that he led after Cincinnati had taken the ball away from Tennessee. All he did was lead the team down the field, manage the game. I mean, after all, this is the same quarterback that threw for 348 yards. All he did was manage the game and just put the team in position to win, something that Ryan Tannehill couldn't even do. So what does that tell you? What does that honestly tell you about the quarterback situation down in Tennessee? Because the argument of, well, they're just one piece away is gone, done. No, they're not. That one piece is the quarterback. And like I said on Saturday night on Twitter, get rid of Ryan Tannehill if you're the Tennessee Titans. I get that you just signed him to a contract extension. I get all of that. And you basically believed after he sold you fool's gold in 2019, leading the team to an AFC title game, that he was going to be the guy that leads the team to the promised land. Until he proved he can't be trusted in the big moments. You wanna look across the league, fine. Compare Ryan Tannehill to Josh Allen, to Patrick Mahomes, how they handle the big pressure, the pressure, two-minute drill. You compare that with Ryan Tannehill, you honestly want to sit here and try to convince me, or even worse, try to convince yourself that Tannehill is as good as those guys are? You need to lay off the weed. That's just the reality of the situation. Because the more that I really begin to deeply think about this, the more that I can't help but to feel Tennessee probably had no business being the number one seed in the AFC. I mean, that's just the God-honest truth. Between Derrick Henry missing 2 months and somehow still being able to remain afloat on top of the AFC, this is a team that wasn't supposed to be the number one overall seed in the AFC. No, not even close. But they did it with Ryan Tannehill. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? If you were to sit here and you begin to think about where this team is, I'm talking about the Titans, that is, and where you think that they should be, I got news to tell you. The gap is as wide as the West Nile River. I'm serious. The gap is as wide as the West Nile River. Because why? The quarterback. Until Ryan Tannehill can prove that he can win you a playoff game inside of 2 minutes when the pressure is all on the guy, then you are still lacking a quarterback, and everything else on the roster will not be as good as you think it could be. We're going to take a music break. But coming up next, on the other side of the break, how do you ultimately win in the playoffs if your coach is making dumbfounded decisions? I'm going to tell you exactly who and what I'm talking about on the other side of the break. Coming up next, right here on the Shukri Wright Show, right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tusk Free Form Radio.
Yo, what up? Yo, this is Ghostface. You're listening to WMFO Medford 91.5. Y'all know what it is. One. With coke and a dollar bill, stems and crack capsules. Take a blast.
The federal government alone spends $4.5 billion a year locking up people for drug offenses. It costs almost $28,000 a year just to incarcerate one prisoner. Compare that to the average annual tuition at a four-year public college, which is $5,491, and you realize that the drug war is blurring our nation's priorities. Taxpayers' money would be much better spent educating people instead of punishing them. But thanks to ever-increasing mandatory minimum drug sentences, an entire class of young people are being filtered into new supermax prisons, while the resulting budget crunch forces the rest of us to go to old, dilapidated schools. The more money we dump into prisons, the less we have to invest in college campuses. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out how you can get involved in the war against the war on drugs.
Welcome back to the Shakir Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Touch Free Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. You can call into the program at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in. I'm here with you until 6 o'clock today. It is going to be an hour short only because Bruins Ducks tonight at the Garden, 7 o'clock. Got to dip a little early for that. So that is going to be an interesting game. Final game of a long 7-game homestand for the Boston Bruins before they hit the road. Tonight's going to be a good one at the Garden. Last time they played each other was back in 2019. Yeah, October of 2019, which is hard to believe. Wow. In which that was a pretty good night for one David Pastrnak, which is crazy just to reflect on the fact that I think he had 4 goals that game, if my memory serves me correct. So, if you're listening to the program, call in 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. Another thing that I remember most is the good old adage of coaching can equally lose you games as much as they win you games. And in the NFL playoffs, where the margin for error is just oh so thin, it is even more important to see how coaching decisions in game can negatively impact your team later in games. And there is an example of that I really want to harp on in particular. And I want to talk about the Bills and the Chiefs game last night. Because as much as I want to sit here and talk about the performance of Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, because trust me, it was absolutely something to behold. But I'm a big believer that coaching in the NFL comes down to these two dynamics here. What do you do in terms of your play calling based on what the defense is giving you with your quarterback? And then number two, your ability and your willingness to adapt to game situations that is ultimately going to put your team over the top. I'm a very big believer of that. However, the thing that I keep thinking about the most is how on earth did Josh Allen put up an all-time performance in last night's game? Yet somehow, and I do mean somehow, they were not able to come out on top with the win. This is my theory as to why that happened. Because in the playoffs, what you do in terms of your defense will oftentimes dictate how you will approach that said game. Last night's game was no exception. What the Bills realized was that they weren't going to be able to really stop Patrick Mahomes. And their safety and their secondary was ill-equipped to handle Tyreek Hill. He had 150 receiving yards last night. They were ill-equipped to handle Travis Kelce. See the game-winning touchdown pass he caught in overtime. And I look at Sean McDermott this evening and I say, Sean, why did you not make the adjustments that you should have made? That you should have made in order to, in the very least, keep Mahomes contained. Because early on, what I saw was that Patrick Mahomes showed absolutely no type of fear running the ball. Neither did his own quarterback, Josh Allen. But what I also saw with that was that McDermott was unwilling to make any sort of defensive adjustment to at least not allow Patrick Mahomes to roam freely to his right or to his left, because either or, it doesn't make a difference which way it goes, because he could still sign on the throw time and time again, as you saw time and time again last night during the game. So I'll pose to you this question. Although, in sports, we know that there has to be a winner, there has to be a loser. Do you put the loss by the Buffalo Bills on Sean McDermott? The honest answer is yes. That was not on Josh Allen. Josh Allen did everything he could to win the game for the Buffalo Bills in spite of the play calling of Sean McDermott at times during the game. Sounds harsh? Yeah. I know it's harsh, but it's the truth. Because Sean McDermott at times during the game left me saying to myself, you idiot, why do that here? Especially in overtime. Whereas you heard the Buffalo Bills talk about, oh, we need to change the rules of overtime in the NFL. Huh. Is it that? Or is it the fact that your defense absolutely withered at the end? Because let's call a spade a spade. The Bills had a lead, not once, twice, in the final minute and a half of the game. And you could not hold on to that lead. That's the reason why you lost. Not overtime, not the fact that Josh Allen couldn't get on the field in overtime, because once the Chiefs won the coin toss, I knew it right then and there, game over. This is practically like any of those overtime games that we've seen in the NFL in most recent NFL playoff history, most notably Super Bowl 51. When the Patriots won the coin toss against the Atlanta Falcons, game over. Everybody in the world knew game over. Tom Brady's about to take the field. They're not about to lose this game. Sean McDermott cries and complains about, we need to change the rules. And Josh Allen, the one person I would look at and say, okay, but you should not want the rules to change. Go ask the Kansas City Chiefs. How hilarious is this, by the way? I'm serious. How hilarious is the fact that the Chiefs wanted to get that same rule that they benefited from last night changed after losing the 2019 AFC title game to guess you know who, the New England Patriots. The irony of it all. Don't be so fast to change something that you don't like, because there actually may be good hidden in there for you that may come abound a little later down the line. You just don't know when and where and how, but it may manifest itself to work in your favor. See the Kansas City Chiefs. 3 years ago, Travis Kelce changed the overtime rule. It's unfair. 3 years later, you don't hear a damn peep. You don't hear a word from Travis Kelce regarding this rule. You don't. That's the thing that I look at and I say, huh, that's interesting. Meanwhile, across the other side of the field, Sean McDermott was giving not one, two different leads to work with. Each and every single time, they couldn't hold on to the lead. And let me ask you this. Can you honestly explain to me what on earth happened on that on that 64-yard touchdown pass from Mahomes to Tyreek Hill? The touchdown pass that made it 33-29 Chiefs at the time. Because here's the thing. Sean McDermott admitted after the game. And as we all know, the Chiefs, they are loaded with absolute tread burners, as I like to call them. What's a tread burner? Players that can absolutely burn the ground with their speed. Roadrunners. Tyreek Hill is one of them. A simple 5-yard catch could turn into a 50-yard run after the catch. And we saw it last night. But man, goodness grief. Because the question did come up after the game, and I wondered, were the Bills better served taking a knee before the end zone or churched, as the Chiefs call it, to leave less time for the Bills to rally? Because that was something that Tyreek Hill was asked, and this was his response. Nobody said church mode. Coach didn't say church mode. Eric Bieniemy didn't say church mode. Patrick Mahomes didn't say it, so I'm going to get a touchdown. Why not? Plus, I had a crazy touchdown celebration plan, but Pat, he like stopped me. Again, adjustments in game. Coaches oftentimes lose games as much as they win them. Last night was another example. But man, I cannot believe as great as Josh Allen played last night, that ultimately it wasn't even good enough to beat the Kansas City Chiefs, whom you can now say that is their kryptonite in the AFC. 2 years in a row now, they lost in last year's AFC title game in Kansas City. They lose in a divisional game, what will go down as one of the true all-time great playoff games and arguably the greatest playoff weekend ever in NFL playoff history. That's what they're going to be ultimately remembered for. Losing to Kansas City for the second straight time. And I'll be the first to tell you that if the Buffalo Bills don't figure this out, if Sean McDermott does not get this figured out as to seeing what he did wrong, they're going to be in the same position again and again and again for the next 3 to 5 years. And I say that because this is not going to be the last time that they meet each other in the playoffs. And that's just the truth. It's not going to be the last time that they see each other in a meaningful game like this. Man, what a game. What an absolute classic of an NFL playoff game. We got a lot more to talk about coming up next. But before we even get there, I'm going to play for you one more PSA for you. Brought to you by the fine folks of here of 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford.
Despite a decades-long drug war, billions of dollars spent, and millions of Americans locked up in prisons, drug use rates have remained relatively constant. Any economist will tell you that as long as there's demand, there will always be entrepreneurs with a supply ready to make a profit. When a drug dealer is busted, it's nothing more than a job opening for someone else to fill. This is Economics 101. Join Students for Sensible Drug Policy to help teach lawmakers this simple economics lesson. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out more information about SSDP, if there's a chapter at your school, or how to start one. It's time to join the growing opposition to our country's failed war on drugs and start an open, honest, and rational discussion of alternative solutions to our nation's drug problems.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Touch Free Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. It is time for a music break. I'm sorry, I know I'm a bit of a prick, you know, coming back to doing the show just after I just did the PSA. I know, I know that you want more. I know. I get it. I get it. Fine. But rules are rules. Coming up next, there is one team who I absolutely want to advance in this championship Sunday. I'm going to tell you exactly who that is and why. That and much more coming up next. Here with you until 6 o'clock on the abbreviated edition of the Shoot Me Right Show on 91.5 FM WMFO and Medford Touch Free Farm Radio. Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Touch Free Firm Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Only here for about 15 more minutes, folks. Abbreviated edition of the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO. Call in 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636. Talk to me. What are you thinking? What are you feeling? Wild weekend in the NFL playoffs. Trust me, I'm still trying to catch my breath. Phew. 2 days straight of absolute heart-stopping football. And here I am right now, absolutely struggling to catch my breath. Crazy, isn't it? Crazy, I tell you. But now, it's on to Championship Sunday, and you know what that means. Two games. AFC title game, NFC title game. Who wants to go to the Super Bowl, which will be held in Los Angeles in just 3 short weeks? Can you believe that? And February is right around the corner, folks. I mean, NFL season is really dwindling down. And I'm telling you, that first week after the Super Bowl is usually the roughest. Because it's like, oh, shucks. No football games to watch? Are you kidding me? Blah. I get it. Believe me. Been there many a time. It's like the good old-fashioned football withdrawal that everyone goes through after the first weekend of the Super Bowl. And you realize there's no more football games to watch, at least NFL that is. Until the spring where you may see the USFL or arena football. But you know there's nothing like NFL football, right? So while we still have football, let us all enjoy it. And trust me, that hasn't been a problem for the millions of football fans across America this past weekend. Now, AFC title game, Bengals, Chiefs, NFC title game. Whew. An all-NFC West divisional rival matchup, 49ers, Rams. There's one team I absolutely do not want to see win under any circumstance. It's going to be the Kansas City Chiefs. I love Patrick Mahomes. I love him as a person. I love that he is so damn good at what he does. It ain't got nothing to do with him personally. Heck, it got nothing to do with the fact that the Chiefs are a pretty good team. It's got nothing to do with anybody on the 53-man roster, truthfully. Instead, it has everything to do with his brother. It has everything to do with his fiance. Oh, my God. And the fact that I'm even sitting here talking about it, it's like a little bit of a peek into the personality that I have. And I'm not sorry for the fact that I'm about to sound like a horrible person. But really, I feel like that those two are the reasons why people absolutely demolish a player's family or significant other after a game. Those two are literally an example why it happens. I'm not saying that it's right. No. So don't even get any ideas. But what I'm saying is that if you're on social media and you have seen Jackson Mahomes' TikTok or Twitter, you understand why. I'm talking about those who are not even on social media at all and wouldn't even understand what I'm talking about or even why I'm saying what I'm saying right now. But his fiance, they're not even married yet officially. They're engaged. I started to really dislike her during the 2019 playoff run in which that the Chiefs make their run to winning Super Bowl 54, their first Super Bowl win in, 50 years? It started then. I absolutely cannot, for the life of me, deal with anyone who feels that they are entitled to absolutely everything and did absolutely nothing to deserve it. That's exactly those two in a nutshell. Now, if you were on Twitter yesterday or last night or even earlier today, there's a video that's gone viral that was shot by, guess who, Jackson Mahomes, showing and depicting Brittany Mahomes literally giving the crowd beneath the suite that they're in a champagne shower. Unwarranted at that. Now, let me tell you why, exactly why that is so wrong. Number one, no one gave you permission to give anybody a champagne shower. What does that scream of? Entitlement. You feel that you're entitled to do whatever the heck you want to do because you feel, oh, I am the fiancé of your starting quarterback, so I'm going to do what I want to do, and you're not going to tell me a damn thing about it. That's exactly what that was. So when I saw the video this morning, I'm like, nah. You know what? Patrick Mahomes, this is not geared towards you personally, my brother. You are an amazing talent. Once-in-a-lifetime type of talent at the quarterback position. It is your fiancé that America is beginning to hate. And your little brother? Oh, my God. Jackson? All right. Here's a Jackson rant for you. Jackson is a 17-year-old, typical, I didn't earn a darn thing. I'm going to just piggyback off the rich and fame that my brother has built and earned for himself because we share the same last name. That's exactly what Jackson Mahomes is. And if you watch his TikTok and his social media, because it's all out there, you understand why the angst, why the feeling of frustration, why I feel like those two are in particular, those two in particular are the type of individuals that will go crazy, go wild, but the moment that they face trouble or the moment that Patrick Mahomes makes a mistake, which has been far and few and in between on the field, they can't handle the heat. Which is why I am giving the Cincinnati Bengals one assignment this whole weekend. You got one job, and America is pulling behind you. Beat the Kansas City Chiefs, because guess what? I want to see the videos. I want to see the tweets. I want to see what Jackson does that is going to absolutely set the internet on fire so that he could be absolutely crucified, because it's warranted. See, there is a difference between celebrating your family's success and absolutely riding off the back of the one person who has practically carried the both of you at this point. There's a difference. There is nothing wrong with being happy for family, supporting your own family in their success. But let me ask you this. If, and I do mean if they were to absolutely choose a different profession, and when I say they, I'm talking about Patrick Mahomes himself. If he were to choose a different profession, would they even remotely be acting the way that they would? We would never truly know. But let's be honest. Let's call a spade a spade. This is the person who has found a way. Oh my God. Who's found a way to absolutely just anger so many people. And it's not a good thing. I mean, goodness grief. It is one of those things where it's like, I sincerely wonder. I gotta see this. I'm gonna play this particular clip for you. You light me up inside like Jackson Mahomes is, I'm playing a YouTube clip right now where Jackson Mahomes is dancing outside of a private jet. Like, it's a TikTok compilation. I look at it and I'm like, it is so cringeworthy. Like, why? Like, basically, let me try to paint the picture. Here he is in a black frame glasses, white hoodie, afro, trying to emulate the style of his older brother Patrick, which he looks absolutely horrible. You might also call him a Brillo head looking dude because you have no sense of style whatsoever, Jackson. But what I tell you, if you could just go for a moment and just watch the TikTok compilation that's on YouTube right now. Oh my gosh. This is wild. And then some of the comments on YouTube are just absolutely brutal. But I'm not excusing their behavior, but it is literally warranted. Entitlement. Be careful. Because it'll have you believing that you're entitled to someone else's success and greatness while you absolutely do nothing to contribute towards the A. This is like the one friend that you did not want to work with in grade school, working on a group project, and then suddenly he or she does absolutely nothing, and when it's time for presentation, they get an A. And they're celebrating like, woo, I got an A. Meanwhile, you didn't do diddly squat to contribute to the project. That's literally Jackson Mahomes. Now, Brittany, I understand because she's the fiance and so forth, but even then, some of her videos are just absolutely just cringy. I mean, cringy. The only thing I can say, go on YouTube, go on Twitter, go on TikTok, but I'm sure they're all over the place. Just go take a look. You'll understand exactly my point. So the point that I'm making is, dear Cincinnati Bengals, you have one job. One job to do. That's it. Beat the Kansas City Chiefs and get Brittany and Jackson Mahomes out of my freaking face. Get them out of the face of America this weekend, please. Because the last thing we need is to see those two particular Jackworths going crazy in Los Angeles at SoFi Stadium because they don't know how to act. That's the last thing that we need as here in America, period. I'm not sorry for saying how I feel. It is what it is. Absolutely amazing. It is amazing that we've come to this. Seriously. We are approaching just a couple of minutes left here in the program. So it is time for final thoughts here at 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Folks, what an NFL weekend it was. Seriously, what a weekend. Let me be the first to tell you that if you were to tell me when divisional weekend first started, that it would end up becoming what it would become, I wouldn't have believed you. I would have been the first to tell you that it's going to be maybe a couple of blowouts, two really close games. But when I tell you that every single game, all four games, came down to a kick or to a game-winning drive, either in the final 2 minutes or in overtime, what more can you possibly ask for? I don't think there is a whole lot more you can ask for as an NFL fan. So, you can officially say that 2021 NFL Divisional Weekend, Playoff Weekend, was the greatest playoff weekend of all time. No questions asked. Book it, save it, whatever you want to do. You heard it from me, Shukri Writes, here on Monday, January 24th, 2022. You heard it from me. But now, to look ahead to the championship weekend that is this coming Sunday. Bengals, Chiefs. Bengals, learn from the mistake or mistakes that the Buffalo Bills made to the Rams and the 49ers. Do me this favor, please. They're 49ers. Please remind the LA Rams of their place in NFL royalty, which is nowhere to be found. Dear 49ers, you have been on an incredible run, which will become even more memorable should you make it to the Super Bowl for the second time in 3 years. But I will also add to the fact that if you are the Niners this weekend, Jimmy G has done his part. But let's be honest, he wasn't the reason why that they beat the Packers on Saturday night. He did his part, sure. He did everything that he could. But Deebo Samuels, he's the real MVP. Let's just hope that he's healthy enough to go on Sunday. And I'm sure that he's going to end up playing on Sunday. It's the NFC freaking championship. Everybody's hurt at this point in the season. With a trip to the Super Bowl on the line, I don't think he's going to miss this game. No way. But look, we still got the rest of the week to dissect what happened on divisional weekend and all that fun stuff. And I'm sure we will. I am sure that we are going to do exactly just that. And that's going to wrap it up for me, yours truly, Shukri Wright. Again, off to Bruins Ducks tonight, 7 p.m. puck drop at the Garden. If you're going to be there, holla at your boy. I'll talk to you Friday afternoon, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., full 2 hours, right here on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. Signing off for now. I'll talk to you guys on Friday. This is Shukri Wright. Thanks for listening to the program. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. Touch free from radio. Enjoy the rest of your Monday night, folks. Peace.